Hi, this is Tom Rotolo, founder of CityQuake. Welcome to our podcast where we feature messages that will change your life. I believe that Christians around the world are way overfed with teaching and way underactivated. What do I mean by that? We don't put that teaching to practice in our everyday life, and it actually makes us worse off. We know biblical truth, but it has not actually transformed our life. Well, I've chosen messages for these podcasts that will inspire you and challenge you to live out your identity as a believer filled with the Spirit of God. It's time to not just fill seats at church anymore. It's time to see our cities transformed for the kingdom of God. Get ready to be activated.
I'm going to jump right in here with our topic for today. It's basically how the change process, the change of the Holy Spirit, how He changes us. So I want to get right into that. And I know, Brian, I appreciate it. I've gotten you kind of, I'm usually doing the interviewing, and I appreciate you being the interviewer today, Brian Kinney.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. So good to see everybody and excited for this topic. And so to kind of get us started, I don't know how you guys felt, but when you first saw the topic, you know, talking about true change being possible in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, maybe a response might have been, how does that relate to business? Like, what am I doing? Am I changing the business? Am I changing me? Is it both? Like, and so I guess to kind of start out, Tom, like, kind of share with us what you saw and what you're seeing in terms of, like, why this topic and why with KBN?
And that's a really good question, because I really struggled with this. I thought about sharing it for a while now, and it just been growing. The passion for this has just been growing in my heart, because I feel like that unless we understand the change process, unless we understand how the Holy Spirit wants to change us, not just at work, but anywhere, but it definitely applies to work, that we're going to struggle. We're going to strive. We're going to totally misunderstand this. And that's why I wanted to go into this today. I mean, I have seen some of the most sincere Christians over the years turn away from God because of misunderstanding of sanctification. I've seen some of the most dedicated pastors and leaders fall into all kinds of sin. There's such a misunderstanding of this. I know for me, I was a pastor for years before I understood this change process. I mean, I could teach it, Brian. I could, I memorized verses. There's all kinds of things that I did to try to understand, because I saw this struggle inside of me. And it's not just a struggle to witness. It's a struggle for all kinds of dealing with temptation. And I'm biting off a big chunk to do this in a half hour. There's no way I can do this in a half hour, but excuse me, but I thought at least I can get into it. And then I'm hoping to do a longer version, maybe at a CityQuake conference. I've already done that some, but I really want to do a longer version so that people can really understand and have a very simple. I find that what happens is the enemy overcomplicates it. So that's kind of where I'm going today. That's the reason why it's so important to me.
Yeah. So, I mean, you said something really key there about, you know, obviously a big topic, and I had to make sure that you didn't schedule this for 4 hours, right? For our session today, to be able to capture it. So one of the things that for me, when you think about sanctification, and, you know, again, you know, like, and generally, you know, if you define it, it's like the process of being freed or pulled or extracted from a sinful condition, if you will, right? I mean, that's like, so what's misunderstood about this topic as it relates to what we do in our workplace?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up about sanctification, because a lot of times people don't even understand that word. Sanctification, it's a long word, but it simply means it's basically to be sanctified, to be set apart. And it's the process of being set apart for God. And so, you know, But the problem is that it's really misunderstood how the Holy Spirit wants to change us. I refer to Galatians 3, 1 through 3, where Paul actually recognizes that to the Galatians, that they are misunderstanding it. And I'm going to read that passage. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He's literally saying, who's cast a spell on you before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing from faith? Now, hearing with faith. Now, obviously, the answer to that question is they know they didn't receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law. It was by hearing with faith. But then he continues, are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? And this is what I believe that most people, once I explain this, I think they're going to understand that it's you can begin by the Spirit, meaning you can believe in Jesus, you can have him be your Savior, but then try to be perfected by the flesh, not by the Holy Spirit. And even for years, I misunderstood this because I had the Holy Spirit. I knew I had the Holy Spirit, but I didn't understand how he wanted to work in conjunction with me to actually change me. And I was still, as much as I would say, if somebody came up and asked me, are you being perfected by the flesh? I'd be like, no, I know you need to be by the Spirit. But yet I was, in what I was doing practically, in my mind, I was still being perfected or trying to be perfected in the flesh. And it wasn't doing so hot at it, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, you're unraveling pieces, but there's tributaries, you know, and everything that you unravel. So it's that process, right? And so, take us kind of into, like, again, being conscious of the time, but take us into some of the milestones maybe of that process that, yeah. We want to try to walk around it, but we got to walk through it.
Right. I want to get into the nitty gritty of it because I want to talk about how, I think if I talk about how I used to try to be perfected, because I think that people will be able to relate to that, and then how I now work with the Holy Spirit for true change. But let me give you a little bit of background for me. I'm really going fast here, I know, but when I became a Christian, I wasn't a nice guy. I was 19 years old, you know, playing tennis for University of North Carolina. I was getting into stuff, you know, that I shouldn't have been getting into. And when the day I came to the Lord, some things fell off of me and other things didn't. Like, all right, anger. I was an angry guy. I would get angry in the tennis court, crush some rackets here and there. And that anger fell off. The partying and carousing and womanizing, I mean, that fell off. I knew it wasn't right. And it just was not, a struggle anymore. I mean, there's some petty theft. There was this and that just fell off. Like, I didn't struggle with that anymore. And I was so thankful for that. But then there's other things, as I continued to walk with the Lord, some things that didn't fall off. And that might've been like more like pride, like Christian pride, you know, like, I'd like want to impress people by my knowledge of the Bible, you know, or, you know, quote a verse, you know, here, and just to like impress people or there'd be frustration. Maybe I wouldn't get all out anger, but there'd be like that inner frustration when people wouldn't do what I want them to do. You know, my family members, especially, you know, sexual thoughts, imaginations, pornography, you know, fall into that, like, And then the fear of man, which is particularly what plays a role at work. It's the desiring the approval of people, the not wanting to upset people, get them mad at me. But sometimes the desire to live for Jesus wouldn't be above this fear, you know? And so I was living in this place, and I realized what I was doing. And so I'm going to actually go through a couple of just make some points here and then show you some scripture as to how we change when these things hit us. Because the first thing that the Bible talks about is that when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes into us, but we still have flesh. We still have, and I'm going to define that in my own definition of flesh. Flesh is, and the word, and the Bible uses many different terms for this. It used the old man, old creation, old self. It's all talking about the same thing. And if I had the time, I'd be able to show how that is biblically. But the flesh is the part of us, is anything that's anti-God, anything at all, whether it be sexual realm, whether it be stealing, whether it be just lack of love for God, whether it be too caring too much what people think of you, whether every area that takes us away from loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. So you know, not stepping out to love on people, to care for people wherever we go, that's all flesh, because ultimately we are made in the image of Jesus. So that's what we're supposed to be walking in. Really, literally, we're supposed to be able to be just like Jesus. But we have this struggle again with all this stuff that's still in us. And here's the first thing that, by the way, I'm going to read a verse to talk about this. The Galatians 5:16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh." Paul doesn't say you won't have the flesh anymore when you become a Christian. He says you won't carry out the desires of the flesh, because the flesh is there. And sometimes the flesh can be pretty intense in terms of desires, okay? Whether it be desire for stuff of this world, it can be anxiety about how I'm going to pay the bills. All that is flesh. And it actually goes on, it says the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, and you may not do the things that you please. So Paul, I love that verse there, because it's just basically saying this part of who we are is trying to drag us down. It's actually trying to say, you know, Tom, this is who you are. You're this guy that is frustrated, you're a guy who has sexual fantasies. You're a guy who is, I mean, the flesh wants, that's what the enemy does. He wants to tell us that's who we are when it's not who we are. So let me continue in talking about how the Spirit can give us short and long-term victory. When I say short-term victory, I mean, when you're hit with one of these fleshly temptations to not be a witness, to be worried about the future and anxieties over paying bills and what's going to happen with this, what's going to happen. I mean, or just you're apathetic about loving God. I don't care. I don't know. I don't really feel like in love with God today. That's all flesh. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has overtaken us, but it's common. Those are all common stuff. Here's the thing. All flesh is flesh. I love that saying, because it helps me to think, I don't care what I'm feeling in my body that's anti-God's ways. It doesn't matter. It's just flesh. And the Bible says any of this stuff that's trying to get us and trying to drag us down, discouragement, whatever, all of these temptations are common, and God is faithful, who's not going to allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with a temptation, will be able to provide you a way of escape. So that's the first thing. The Bible's going to, that we can make a decision with our will, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to say no. But that's what I used to do all the time. And that's only part of the transformation process, okay? But because there's also a long-term transformation process. 2 Corinthians 3:18 is one of the verses that talks about that. And when he says, we're all with unveiled faces are beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. So we're being transformed into that very image from glory to glory, meaning that there's a process going on in us, if we cooperate with it, that we're going to be transformed from one degree of glory to another. So we're going to actually have the ability to crush the flesh. All right. So let me talk about exactly how that happens. And I think the best way, there's so many verses, but we're down to about 10 minutes left here. So I really want to get into this and then we can dialogue more about it and maybe even have some questions if there's time, I'm not sure. The Bible in Romans 7 and 8, it's probably some of the best passage on this change process. And I don't have time to go into all of it. But if you read over that, some people get stuck in Romans 7, where it talks about this war, you know, I don't do the things I want to do, and I try hard, and if you keep the law, and I can't keep the law. That's, some people conclude, oh, that's me. I try hard and fail, and then try hard again. I might succeed a couple times, but then I try and I fail again. And that's like, some people think that's the normal Christian life, and it's not. The normal Christian life is supposed to be Romans 8, not Romans 7, where it talks about that the requirement of the law is fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm going to try to break this down, be really, really practical, because that sometimes sounds really theological or really, just not understandable. Let me break this down a little bit, make it really, I'm going to use a couple of kinds of temptations that are common and talk about what I used to do and now what I do now. Okay, so let's talk about some of these, and I'm going to get really, really specific here. So let's say that somebody hurts you, somebody offends you, could be a spouse, could be a family member, could be a person at work, right? And they put you down, they talk about you behind your back, they hurt you, they get you angry. And so let's say you really want to get angry, you know, get the temptation comes up to get even, to you know, call them names back, to take it out on them, right? But so here's what I used to do. What I used to do is like, okay, Lord, no, I would think of scripture, right? Because the Bible says you're supposed to transform your mind, and that is part of it. And so I would like, okay, no, Lord, the Lord says to love those, you know, love my enemies, you know, just like Jesus did, or to bless those who persecute me. And I think, okay. So I would think of these scriptures, and I think that's what I need to do. And then my will would kick in. I was like, no, I'm not going to, okay. My flesh is telling me get even, get get back at them, call them some names, you know, you just hurt them somehow. And I like, no, the Bible says to do this. And so then I would like, okay, I'm just going to love them. I'm just going to love them. All right. Let me give the next example. And then I'm going to come back and say how this is good, but not the best. Okay. It's part of the truth, but not all of it. Let's say dealing with sexual desire. So I see somebody, I see something, I'm reminded of something that makes me want to go in a wrong sexual direction. Okay. Look at pornography, have sexual thoughts, imaginations, whatever. And those sometimes can be really strong. And I would be like, no, I want to keep my mind pure, you know, and I don't want to give into the passing pleasures of sin. And the Bible says, I want to flee youthful lusts. And, you know, and maybe a verse like those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I'll be like, okay, Lord, I'm trying to get these things in me and trying to battle that strong desire. They're like, no, this is not right. And I'd push it down and like, no, I don't want to feel this and that kind of thing. Okay. So again, thinking of trying to transform my mind, I just would like, no, I can't think about that. I got to think about this, what the Bible says, right? So again, good, but not quite there. Or let's say another one where we just get really practical about at work, another area where, okay, I should talk to this person about Jesus. I could talk to my boss. I should be a witness to this person here on the assembly line. I should, but I don't know. Oh, I'm so afraid. What are they going to think of me? Oh, my job could be in trouble here. And then I like, hold it. No, the Bible says to love my neighbor. The Bible says I'm supposed to care about them. I want to glorify you, Lord, and let my light shine among men. I don't want to fear the one who's able to destroy both. It says, don't fear the one who kills the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I mean, I would think about these scriptures. I memorized books of the Bible to try to do this. It was good and it helped, but here's what happened. I would renew my mind. I'd focus on scripture. I knew what to do. And then I would choose by my will to not go along with that temptation, right? You got those two parts. That's what I was trying to give examples, but it was still causing me to fall short. This is what many pastors try to do. This is what I used to teach. This is what many messages on sanctification are on, and it's not enough. Let me, I want to say it's, I wanted so much to be perfected by the Spirit, but I was actually trying to be perfected by the flesh. Why is that? Because the Bible says that all his ways are already written in me. This is really, this is really key, Brian. In Hebrews 10, it's the Old Testament says, this is the covenant that I'll make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'm going to put my laws upon their heart, and on their minds I will write them. He's referring to the New Testament, the time that we live in right now. And he's saying, listen, all these laws that were external to you at one time, they're now going on your heart. And that's the covenant that we now live in. So all those things that I was trying to put in my mind and trying to do, it's already, all those things are already written in my heart. The love of the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. To look at another person and not lust, but love them and care about them in the way and wanted to protect their purity rather than use them for my own mind and my own sexual gratification. To instead of wanting to be afraid of what people are going to think of me, I now want to care about what God thinks of me and want them to know him. And that overcomes all the other fear. I mean, all those things are already in my heart. So here's how I now process that. Yes, you have to use your will, your mind, and you have to understand the ways of God. But there's one more step I was missing. And that was to be already receiving, saying, Lord, this is not something I'm trying to do. This is not something I'm trying to get in me. I'm not trying to be a person who doesn't get frustrated. I'm not trying to be a person who doesn't lust. I'm not trying to be a person who doesn't get anxious about the future. I already am. I may not be in touch with it right now, but that's already in me. And so the goal of this, the goal of what I'm talking about right now, and that I'm running out of time, but I'm really trying to go fast, and I'll give examples in just a second. But the goal of this is to say, Lord, this is already in me. Lord, your ways are already in me. And the more you meditate on what he has already put in you, not see, when we are striving to keep the law, we're still falling back into that Roman 7 thing. I'm trying. I don't want to sin. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to get frustrated. We're striving to still keep the law by our own willpower. And you know what? The flesh always sooner or later will wear down the will and will. And I found myself going maybe for a month or two praying and fasting, whatever, trying really hard. And it would, my sooner or later, my will would get worn down. But let me give you an example of how I respond now. Let's say to that same situation, somebody gets me frustrated, whatever. I like, oh, look at that frustration in me. Oh, Lord, thank you so much that you've already written in my heart. I may not be in touch with that now. I'm in touch with my frustration, but Lord, you have already written my heart. I'm one who loves people. I'm one already who can bless those who persecute me. That's what Lord, thank you. I want to be more in touch with that right now, Father. Holy Spirit, make that more real to me. And as I meditate on who I already am, not trying to become who I am, that's being perfected in the flesh. As I'm already meditating on this is who I already am, Holy Spirit, you've already made me to be like Jesus. I don't have to give into that sexual sin. I can now look and my initial reaction at a person that I might initially be drawn to physically, sexually, whatever. No, right? That is the flesh. But who I really am, Lord, is one who I want to love. I want to, instead of undress, I want to dress. I want to clothe them so that they are pure for the person they're going to be married to. I'm no longer fearful. I'm not one who's fearful. I'm actually wanting to move into somebody's life who I need to witness to. That's who I am. See, what we do is we meditate on the ways of God, which is the law, you know, we meditate on that, but then we also meditate that it's already in us. We begin to say, Holy Spirit, oh, wow, you've already made me that, Lord. And as you meditate that it's already there, it'll become more and more. You'll go from glory to glory. The flesh, I say it this way, the flesh where it, before it would like try to push me around and it would like try to almost like feel so strong, like it was somebody like literally pushing me. Now it's becoming less and less where it might be just more like a nagging fly, you know, like just it doesn't have the same kind of effect on me because I've learned the pattern of realizing I'm not the flesh. The flesh is a part of me that's going to be gone one day in heaven. And right now it's one that the Holy Spirit is putting down in me every day and actually here's the best thing. I got to end with this because I know we're out of time, but it's the actual process of when the flesh rises up, I now say, oh, thank you, flesh, for reminding me who I am. That's one way of knowing that the enemy's not going to try to keep bothering you with the flesh when you realize, oh no, the flesh, when it says, you know, when that frustration rises up, I'm like, oh, hold it. That's not who I am. I'm one who loves. I can bless. I can forgive instantly. I can be like, I'm going to be like Jesus because that's who I really am. And so again, I know I can keep going on with more examples on that, but I hope you're getting the general way. I would love to talk about this more. I don't know whether or not we should come back and actually have a Q&A time on the next call, or we should just go on to something else. But I know I want to get, this is such a key part of living for Jesus every day. I thought, man, I've got to cover this for those who don't understand it. And I'm Brian, thanks for just being here and asking some questions, but we're out of time and we want to get to the breakout session. So.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast today. If this message has impacted your life, we invite you to check out cityquake.org. Just so you know, our policy here at CityQuake is to offer messages like this one for no charge. Why is that? We want to bless as many people as possible. Would you consider sowing into CityQuake today to help us get these messages out to even more folks out there? Also on the CityQuake website, you'll be able to find links to testimonies of what God has done out there in the streets, and also find out our CityQuake schedule. That's cityquake.org. Until next time.